Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Forged by Trust podcast. My name is Robin Dreek, and I'm your host, and I'm the founder and CEO of People Formula, as well as retired head of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, where my job for my career was recruiting spies. Before we get going on today's episode with our guest, Jennifer Filzen, I want to remind everyone to please, please, please like us on your favorite podcasting platform and leave a review for us as well, because the more reviews and likes we get, the more ability we have to get great information out to the rest of the world so we can make a difference and change the world. Because as we always say, if we have at least one bit of information to share, shame on us for not getting it to someone else. And with that, I want to be talking today with Jennifer Filzen. Jennifer is the CEO and founder of Rockstar Marketing out in California. She is a phenomenal storyteller, and this episode is going to run a little bit longer just because she is a fantastic storyteller and has great anecdotes to really accentuate her four currencies of great relationship marketing. Because for her, it all comes down to building and forging great trust and relationships with her clients and her team, and there's lots of great actionable takeaways for you. And with that, I want to remind everyone also that if you are looking for great strategies for forging your trust in whatever aspect of life you are, the first primer in forging trust is developing quick rapport. So if you're interested in it, please check out my first self-published book, the bestseller, It's Not All About Me, The 10 Techniques for Quick Rapport with Anyone. You can get it on Amazon, and coming very soon is the Audible copy of it if you are looking for listening in. So with that, I want to introduce you to Jennifer Filzen, and let me give you a quick bio on her. As a result of our marketing efforts, her agency helps small businesses reach their next $1 million in revenue. She does this by sharing their story in such a heartfelt way that their ideal clients, their tribe, cannot help but want to work with them. When she does this through storytelling in their blogs, social media channels, in their websites, in their video marketing, and even in their standard operating procedures for internal marketing, it's all about sharing stories within their community that resonates with their tribe. So sit back, take out a pen and paper, because she's got some really actionable items here for you, as well as, if you get the chance, check out her book. I read her book, actually listened to it before I did this interview with her. It is a fantastic short book that's going to give you some great tools and advice. So with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode with Jennifer Filzen.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic, because I just got done reading your book yesterday, and it was exciting. It was a fun read.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm honored. I'm honored that you read my book. I mean, truly, like, I know I wrote a book and I expect people to read it, but to hear that people actually read it and enjoy it and like, oh yeah. Cause I do try to make things fun. I mean, learning has to be fun if we want to make it a lifelong pursuit, right?
Yeah. And it also always helps, you know, if you're going to be chatting with someone, the more you can deeper dive into them and understand them at a deeper level to kind of extract their greatness to share with others, it helps a great deal. And so that's what I was doing before we tuned in. We had our pre-show, we came up with some things to chat about, but also after reading your book, I added a few things that I found really fun that I think we'd do a deeper dive on to help others. Because the thing I really enjoyed about the book was there wasn't really boiled again down to a mutual author we love, and that's Simon Sinek and his why. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that, that's a question that you can never stop asking yourself, is what's your why? Because mine has continually evolved. I've seen yours evolve, and we're going to get to that, because I really want to hear how you help people get to their why. And start that process. So be modeling that for a few minutes. But before we even go with that, you are a rock star marketer. And so anytime someone has a really cool title, I want people to understand, where does that come from? Like, what makes Jennifer a rock star marketer? Tell me about that.
Okay. So you see the drum and the bass behind me, right?
Yes.
And then do you see the art behind me? The mermaid.
So I got to lower my notes I have up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So I really am a rock star. It's just that no one knows who I am. So the story behind that is 2006, I'm going through a divorce. I start writing songs for the first time. I've been trained in voice. I've been trained in opera and jazz and grew up in a very musical family. Can't really play instruments very well. I am that musicians always joke about how, like, you know, singer-songwriters really aren't truly skilled musicians. And I would agree. I'm not really that skilled of a musician, but the desire to be a rock star has been the case for me ever since I was 6 years old. And when you are living in a suburb of Jacksonville, Florida in the 1970s, pre-internet, and if you want to be, you know, a rock star, you have to live in Los Angeles or New York and, you know some people. And anyway, I always wanted to do that. But fast forward to when I'm going through this divorce and I start writing music and I find a guitarist and I find a producer and we start making music and we start recording the first album, which was Sirena, which was my stage name, which is Spanish for mermaid.
Say it again. What's the name again?
Sirena, which is Spanish for mermaid.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, sure. It's Sirena. Sirena, like siren.
Oh, okay. A. Yeah, very nice.
Sirena. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not that I am fluent in Spanish. In fact, I'm a two-year-old can communicate in Spanish better than me, but I have tried. I have tried to learn Spanish. I have failed. I have done a poor job of it, but it is going to be a lifelong pursuit. And I am currently enrolled in Babbel. But the point being is that I did have friends translate my Sirena song into Spanish. And so in the second album, which is called Groovement, I am singing that in Espanol, todos en Espanol. So anyway, it's been an interesting journey. I wanted to be a rock star. I knew that as I was pouring my own money into this adventure, I had no agent, no record label, completely had to do everything myself. And I did. And I figured, well, I have two options. I can either spend all this money and show off to my family and friends what I'm capable of, or I can try to take it commercial. So I decided to take the commercial pursuit and I used social media as my platform to promote my music. So back in 2007, the social media platforms of choice were MySpace, which was the really big platform, and these two brand new things called, well, brand new release to the masses, not truly brand new, but like release to the masses, Facebook and Twitter. So I used those three platforms to promote my music. And the thing that I always tell everybody in my marketing classes is that I spent a lot of money and I got very little back. I spent 60 grand. I got $1,400 back over a span of 5 years. Can we say horrible failure on return on investment?
No, that's not a horrible failure. That is some great, powerful lessons. That's beautiful.
Yes, exactly. And it's still cheaper than a college education. So
yes, it is.
Right. But I did feel like a complete loser for 5 years. Like, why isn't this working? And da, 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 da. But what I didn't realize at the time is I was building the credentials and the fortitude and the forged trust of becoming a really amazing marketer. Because if I can do this kind of stuff for myself, what can I do for small businesses? So here's the punchline. Yeah, I was a financial failure, but as far as getting the buzz out about my music, we did qualify for 10 Grammys on the first one and 8 Grammys on the second one. And this artwork here that you see of me as the mermaid, that is the artwork on the second album. And my husband did that. And that artwork did qualify for a Grammy nomination as well. So yeah, I'm super proud. And I'm still collecting royalty checks off of my one hit wonder, which is a remix of What Have I Learned. You can look it up. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on YouTube. Bohemia is the Punjabi gangster rapper that had the same producer as me, and he wanted to remix my music, and I'm still collecting royalty checks. Oh, and I did sing back up on a Bollywood film, Chandni Chak to China. So
wow, pretty cool.
It's been an interesting journey. And really what it proves is if this middle-aged white woman from the suburbs can do these things, imagine what you can do, and I can help you get there.
Yes, is a great origin story like all superheroes have. What I find really fascinating because I can really relate to this. And I think most people can that are starting out and you have a dream of something you're trying to do. And as you described, you have this great resilience and determination to forge through. That can be a great gift, but also a great detriment because it's half the equation. So the whole, as you already so eloquently said, it's all about forging trust. But the whole purpose of forging trust is forging relationships, because we alone do not have all the answers to the things we need in the universe. And as we get better at understanding, wow, we can't do this alone. We need relationships, and those healthy relationships are based upon that. So whether it's singer, songwriter, rock star, marketing, you know, some people might say that sounds a little disjointed, but to me, understanding human beings and how to communicate effectively seems completely congruent to me. So tell me about rock star marketing.
How does that translate?
How did the lessons of being a rock star translate into marketing?
Oh boy. Well, you know, it's, you know, I'm true proof that I don't have that much talent. I'm not trying to be totally self-deprecating, but let's put it this way. When we're new at something, Robin, mm-hmm. we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I had such bravado as I'm a rock star. And I was doing everything I could to manifest it. And I'm sure a lot of people were just annoyed with me. It's like, no, you suck. But I didn't know that I sucked. So the point is that a lot of the music success that you see in the world is because of marketing, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of super talented people that have never, their music has never been seen by mass audiences. There are a lot of really amazing small businesses out there that without marketing, no one knows about them, or not enough people know about them.
You know, I hate interrupting, but
you
brought up such a key point that it really takes getting noticed regardless of your talent. So never be down on yourself. And I can only relate it to Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, who I absolutely love and adore because of her talent, is phenomenal. You know, I think her greatest music is piano.
Yeah.
I love listening to the piano and sing. She is a phenomenal artist. She has such talent. And yet, you know, and when she did the movie A Star Is Born, everyone thought that she did it so well because that was her story. And she's like, are you kidding me? That had nothing to do with my story. That was not me at all, because I beat down the doors. I was screaming loud. And her what started out as her outlandish persona was what she tried to do, what she had to do to get noticed, so the people could look at her talent, because her talent was always there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't become that level of concert pianist by mistake. It became long, long years of work and struggle, but only when she wear a meat dress did she become, you know, this persona. You know, so I totally understand what you're saying. And so stepping out and having someone that understands that, like you in marketing, really goes a long way in how you tell that story.
Oh, so true. And you know, the success in anything truly, Robin, is the mindset that you have. Are you going to be consistent in your persistence in getting your message out? There are a lot of people, it doesn't matter what field you're in, there are a lot of people that are shy about promoting themselves. Mm-hmm. And they need a person like me or you to bring them out into the spotlight, because they're like, well, you know, I'm a mechanic, or I'm a dog groomer, or I'm an author, but you know, I'm not that big of a deal. No, honey, you are a big deal. Let us help show the world why you're such a big deal. So that is really what rockstar marketing does. I take people who really don't think that they're a big deal, and I help put the limelight on them and their business. And it's not by magic or anything, really. I'll tell you, and I explain it actually in my book. I'm very forthright about how I do stuff. I love to teach people how I do it. So for all of your listeners, grab a pen and write this down.
I've heard you say that so many times in the book.
In my book. I know, right? You can't help.
The thing I love about your book is this isn't, and please don't take this as a dig at all. It is so granular because I hear you turning the pages. I mean, you can tell this was Jennifer being very transparent, which is a great way to build trust, is transparency, self-deprecation, vulnerability, and balance that with confidence, you know, because you can't be a bumbling idiot and do all those things, because then people just think you're just validating you're a bumbling fool. But when you actually have confidence and competence in the things that you say you do, and you have that level of transparency, there is nothing that garners greater trust.
Exactly.
And that's why I love your book, because literally it was you. I can tell, it's like, I imagine you sitting right where you are, reading it, going through it, and you said it just like that. Take out a pen and paper.
It's so true. Can you tell that I used to teach seventh grade?
Yes, it sounded like it. And I followed, you know, I had to take out my cell phone while I was listening to Audible. So I'm taking all my notes. I have them here. I actually have them cut and pasted on the side right here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so honored. I love it. Someone's listening. That's so cool. Okay, kids, take out your pen, take out your notes. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a quick masterclass on how to market your business. Okay. Really what you need to do is you need to answer the following questions. What makes me and my business special and unique? Go ahead and write that down. I'll take the time. I will repeat it. What makes me and my business special and unique? The second question is, who is it that I want to serve? Who is it that I want to serve? You know, there's the tire kickers in life. Do you really want to serve them? No. You want to be with the people who value your talents, right? The third question is, what is your why? And that takes some digging. That does take some digging. It takes.
And we're going to dig into that more in a minute.
And we will definitely dive more into that. Yes, because that's so important, right? And if you don't understand your why, go listen to Simon Sinek. Go read his books. You'll understand what I'm talking about.
We got Jennifer, so it's okay.
Yeah, right. I'm the Simon Sinek light version. And then the fourth question really is, where do you want to target? Right. So geolocation, believe it or not, is really important. Like, you know, if you are focused on being the best in Denver, then you need to list out all of the places in the Denver metro area that you serve. If you're nationwide, you need to make it apparent that you're nationwide. So those four questions are really what you need to answer for your business. And you need to tell the world on your website, in your social media channels, the answers to those four questions. So Robin, honey, it's really simple, but it's so deceptively simple because that's a lot of work to answer those questions.
It really is. Yeah. And so how do you do that? Because I mean, when reading your book, I've been asked these questions before, and I'm sure people listening have been asked these questions also, but how? And so how do you figure out, and you did a great job talking about so what service do you do that's better than anyone else? So if everyone does oil changes, so the first question, what makes someone stand out that they do better oil changes than anyone else? How do you believe in yourself? What makes you different?
Right. And in the book, I talk about penguins, don't I? How can you tell the difference between penguins? And I volunteered at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and I worked with the penguins and the sea otters for several years. And so I have this firsthand knowledge that, guess what? Even though I worked with the penguins, I have a hard time differentiating them as well. I'm looking for their armband to tell me their gender and their name, right? But here's the deal. With a commoditized industry, such as auto repair or electricians, or pet groomers, or okay, maybe not necessarily FBI agents, but you know, we all tend to start looking alike.
But
right?
Believe it or not, yes. Seriously, you know, I mean, this kind of goes into what we're talking about here. So you take an industry, including FBI agent, which is what I'm selling a service. I'm selling a service of national security and patriotism.
Yep.
And if your company takes a brand hit, because believe me, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, the FBI is taking a brand hit. How do you weather that storm of a brand hit?
Right.
It's relationships. And what service do you offer if you have a lot of people coming through your front door looking to have a conversation about sensitive information that your company might not be willing to share? How do you inspire them to want to do that? What are you offering them that no one else is willing to offer or even thinks they have to offer? So my first conversation with anyone was always thinking in terms of, so why should they want to talk to me from their perspective? What resource am I offering them in terms of a pain point they may or may not have? Exactly. So yes, it is all the same.
It is all the same. And yeah, it's true. It's like when you recognize that the same things that we do in marketing are the same things that we do in just relationship building. It is sharing with people, what is it that I can do that no one else can do, or I can do it better, and I'm going to take away your pain.
Yes.
Right? Nobody wants to be in pain. And whether that's, you know, weight loss or keeping a secret or your car's broken down or your power won't go on, there's different pain points. And how can we be the problem solvers? And that really is where the trust is, isn't it? It's so much fun to figure out that, wow, the same model applies to so many different areas.
And we're going to get back to the title of the book, which kind of goes into the things that make you different, which is the give to get. But I really want to dive down into the why. The ask of trying to understand your why, the whole purpose behind your being. It is an evolution. I've rewritten mine multiple times, and I'm sure you have from going from rockstar to marketer. So even having read Simon Sinek's books, all three of them so far that I've read, and especially Start With Why, it's tough locking onto that why. So when you are first working with a company, an organization, a group, or anyone, how do you coach them? What is the why, and how do you help them understand what that is? How do they discover that?
Well, some people know their why and others don't. How I get them to it is I have a nice long SEO interview with them. So pretty much what happens is my squad.
What's an SEO interview for those?
Forgive me. I'm doing marketing speak. Search engine optimization is what the internet uses in order to find the keywords that you're looking for. So if you type in auto repair near me, then you're going to make sure it's the closest place to you and the keywords auto repair are in the search engine optimized content. So we write search engine optimized content, which is essentially storytelling using keywords and your story to help you pop toward the top of the search engine results pages. And what we do in the SEO interview is we ask those four questions. What makes you special and unique? Who is your target demographic? What is your why? And what areas do you want to target? So they're very open-ended questions, but we get into the nitty-gritty. And I'll tell you, Robin, all of the shop owners, it doesn't even matter what industry, pretty much everyone says the same thing in the first hour. We're honest. We have integrity. We do things right the first time. We're a family-owned business. We treat people, everyone with respect. Like it's pretty much the same. And then I get them because it's just opening it up. So really what I'm doing is I'm letting them recognize that they're superheroes. And then I keep asking questions. I keep digging. And I do it in such a loving way that they don't even recognize what I'm doing. They're just like, oh yeah. Cause I'm like, really? You do that? That's so cool. Tell me more. And then they're like, well, yeah. And then it's always, Robin, it happens every single dingle time. It's nearing the end of the interview. We're about 2 hours in. And finally, in the last 15 minutes, they give me a little golden nugget of what really resonates in their heart. And they're like, you know what? I really love supporting disabled veterans. And one of my missions in life is to blah, 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 blah. Or I really love helping children. And I was taught by my mom to do this, and now we donate to the Boys and Girls Club. Like they always come up with something like, well, you know, I really love spending time with my grandchildren and I want to sell this business at top dollar so I can be free. You know, like we all have a different why and there are no right or wrong answers. And you're absolutely correct. We evolve with our why. Even I have evolved with my why. Do you want me to tell you what my why
is? Yes, 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 yes. I think these good tangible examples are good for people to understand that.
Yeah, it's all about understanding that we all come from a place of love and we've all lived different lives. So you know, it's going deep, honey. But guess what? When we go deep, we're able to tell that story about ourselves and our business and our origin, and we're able to connect. So here are my whys. For a very long time, I really, and I still believe this, but I found a secondary why, but I'll go into the first why. I truly believe in abundance mentality. And I truly feel that I have been divinely inspired by my higher power, that I am meant to bring joy to the world. And that sounds so woo-woo and weird. And how does one bring joy to the world? Well, I believe that my purpose in life is to be an author, be a songwriter, be a marketer, be a writer, be a speaker, be a whatever personality you want to categorize me as, teacher. Like, I do all kinds of things to create a ripple effect. And when I can do my God-given talents, when I can perform them, I can help create a ripple effect where if I can help you through my book, if I can help you through my marketing efforts, if I can help you through my podcasts or interviews or inspiration, whatever that is, and you take your God-given talents and you help the world become a better place. And then the people that you've helped take their God-given talents and make the world a better place. Boom, boom, boom. We have created a ripple effect. And small ripples create waves of abundance back to us, because every wave eventually hits a shore, or hits even in the toilet, it comes back to the center, right? It's the end and it comes back, and it comes back as waves, right? So the point being is that I believe fully, I am meant to be some kind of butterfly flapping their wings and it will be heard, right? The secondary why came about as I was doing some more digging, and I was actually doing a podcast with my husband. We called it the Marriage Plus Business Podcast. And my daddy was on his decline. He was just a couple months short of passing from dementia. And we interviewed my mother, because my parents were shining examples of a wonderful couple who lasted for 52 years. And they owned an electrical contracting business together. And as a total idiot teenager that didn't know much, I didn't realize as a teenager how they were struggling with their business. There were a lot of things going on with their business that I was unaware of, because they shielded me from it. But I was also just a typical teenager that didn't care about anything except for me. Like, sorry, but I think we all have been there, right? But the point being is that my parents really struggled, and they didn't have a business coach. They didn't have a marketing team. They didn't have a lot of the things that we now take for granted. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have the ability to go onto YouTube and to learn something. They had to know somebody who would help them. And in a very close to the vest kind of electrical contracting world, not many people were going to share their secrets. So my secondary why is helping small businesses make it. I want them to survive and to thrive, not have three mortgages on their house to try to save their business. I don't want their marriages to struggle. I don't want their kids to suffer. I want small businesses to hit their next million and hit all of their goals. And even if I can be silly for a moment, make all of their marketing and business dreams come true. Yeah. One group that I work with calls me the fairy godmother. So I have all the props, but the point being,
For those that are listening and not watching, Jennifer just waves her magic wand.
It's true. I've got a magic wand here. There you go. Make all your wishes come true. Make a wish. Okay. There you go.
Make a happily ever after. From Shrek.
It's silly, I know, but if I can bring joy and levity to something that can be serious and make people want to move forward, that is my mission.
So it's really fascinating, all those things that you mentioned that you do or part of as part of your why, your first why. It's all encapsulated in one thing, and that's communication.
Yeah,
all those things is about you communicating, and you communicating and building that trust and love and connections. And then your nature and nurture coming together because of your experiences growing up and not wanting anyone to struggle because of your deep love for your parents. It's funny. I wonder, they probably didn't think they struggled as much as it looked like to you, just because when you are solving problems and you're supporting each other and being rewarded through relationships, you don't feel like you're struggling. And so, especially having a daughter like you that they see growing up be successful, and just because success is the joy of watching your children have healthy relationships. That's it. What people do, it doesn't matter. It's the healthy relationships of forging trust with people around you. It makes all that difference. And so it doesn't matter how you manifest that, whether you're communicating through your songwriting, sharing it through your singing and your rock starring, or through marketing, it's all exactly doing the same thing. You're communicating with others in an effective way to make them more successful in their lives. So yeah, makes total sense to me.
I'm so glad. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how we do it. It's just a matter of, can we do it? Right. And can you, in your business, whatever your business is, and you don't have to necessarily be the owner of the business. You can be an employee of the business. Can you show love for your clients through your acts and through your business and through your values and principles? When you show love, and people are like, love in business? Yeah. Show your clients that you love them. That brings the positive energy that makes them feel like, wow, I had the best experience with this business. I want to go back.
You've mentioned that a few times. Let's dive down into that word, love, because I think when you get the hardcore type A's, like I was born to be, you hear that word love, and some people are going to be put off by that because I don't need the mushy gushies. I don't have to go around giving everyone hugs and telling them I love them. But let's actually talk about what that looks like. You're not saying I love you to someone who just walks in the front door. What exactly are you talking about? What specific actions, words, and deeds are we saying when you say you want to demonstrate love?
Okay. Well, it is so subtle, but let's see if I can tell a story and make it clear. I'm going to walk into one business. It doesn't matter what the business is. Let's just call it an auto parts store. I walk into the business. There's nobody at the front counter. The phone's ringing a lot. I don't hear anyone answering it. And when I do see a person who walks up to the front counter and I need some help, they're kind of short with me and they're kind of surly.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm never coming back.
I might tolerate it because it's a bad day, right? And maybe I strike up a conversation and maybe I bring some levity to their day and maybe they're better off, you know, but there's just like that first appearance, right? Of like, ooh, okay. Are they showing love for their customers? Are they creating a warm and welcoming environment for their customers as soon as they walk in the door? The question could be yes, because you know what? That person could be in the back, not seen. They could be answering the phones. They could be short-staffed. There could be a lot of things, or they could be bickering in the back. There could be some strife within that organization. It could be some poor planning and organization. Maybe they lack standard operating procedures and they don't know what to do. There's a whole bunch of stuff that could be going on, but that's just, sum it up for what it is. How does it make you feel? Kind of icky.
Right. And here's why, because they're not demonstrating number one thing, which centers around what we're calling love, is when you walked in that front door, you're not feeling valued.
Correct.
Now, here's an interesting thing that human beings, we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for effort, and transparency will beget all these things. And so say you have all these different challenges and pain points you just mentioned as a business owner, you're understaffed, you got an order, maybe a truck's at the back door distracting your employees and everything. What could mitigate that entire thing to that experience of the customer walking in? Put a sign on the front and say, listen, we're having a rough day because of X, Y, and Z. Please be patient. Have a cookie while you're waiting. Ring the bell. All these things are demonstrating transparency, openness, and you make it about them. That's a place where the result can actually be exactly the same. It's the way you're communicating it. That's demonstrating that love.
Amen, brother. Sorry, we'll be right with you. Have a cup of coffee.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, right? It's not being dismissive. And let's look at the positive business, okay? Let's just say exactly as you're, gosh, I love it. You're reading my mind, aren't you? You walk into a business. Okay, let's just say that they're having a bad day, but they're doing everything they can to make a very positive customer service experience. They want to not just be the best shop. They want to be the most beloved shop, right? Mm-hmm. So you walk through the door and they wave to you. Hi, it's great to see you. I'll be right there. You feel recognized. It's like, oh, I was recognized. You know, if they call you out by name, because they know you, oh, heck yeah. Right. Hey, you know, settle in. I love you. I'll be right back. You know, I mean, even if you don't say, I love you, they see that you are showing love, right? You can also see that love within the organization, right? Are the coworkers supporting each other or are they rolling their eyes at each other? You want those to jump in and support each other.
Yeah.
Are they, and you know, some people get annoyed by this, but it's like, why is the person at the front counter spending 5 minutes talking about this, you know, this woman's vacation? Doesn't she see that I'm in a hurry? Okay. You know, but guess what? There's a relationship between the woman who went on vacation and the front counter person, and they are nurturing that relationship. And I promise you, the person who is nurturing that relationship with the first person in line is going to also make sure that you're well taken care of. So breathe.
And again, here is how a really, really astute producer of loving relationships, that when we're saying what we're looking for is love, what we're looking for is psychological comfort. And someone who's standing at the front, who's making that great forging trust connection with someone, they're going to be very astute at reading the person behind them, looking impatient. And all you have to do is say, I'm so sorry. I see you in a rush. I'll be right with you. And then the person having the conversation will see, they'll feel uncomfortable. They'll want to shorten. I mean, this is how you work as a group and as a team, to be a very accommodating, not dismissive of people. I just had this experience. I have a very, very, very favorite auto repair place that we go to with our cars. We have older cars. We have a 20 year old Subaru. I have my pickup truck, and I also have a 92 Camaro.
Yeah.
My 92 Camaro. It's a fun car to have. But what's interesting, I brought it in last week, and the guy that runs our place, his name's Roger. And what was really fun was, we've been going there for 15 years, probably. They have a lot of customers. They're a mom and pop-ish kind of place, a little bit bigger. But when I called up to ask about the status of the Camaro, I didn't even say who I was. Roger picks up the phone and goes, your ears must have been buzzing. We're just talking about your car. He actually must have had me on speed dial, you know, recognize the phone number.
That
little bit right there. And here's what's interesting about giving the love. They saved us from a vacation when a dealership wouldn't take our truck when something had happened, because we go on these camping vacations. I called him on the phone. He goes, bring it in right now. He told me what to do to make sure that the engine wouldn't blow up. I got it there. It was a simple thing that took like 15 minutes to fix. And the other place wouldn't even guarantee we could get in that day. And the next time I brought in my Camaro to have service, I brought a $100 gift card for Domino's for the entire staff.
Wow.
Because I valued how they valued me. And that's how you forge relationships. I couldn't even tell you what they charged me for an oil change. I don't even care.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Because when we have that trust, we can just say, here you go. Here are my keys. Take my freedom.
And
freedom.
Here's what he also, this also blows my mind. These little things, again, talking about that thing that makes you special. Uh-huh. He, as the manager of the whole place, he goes for the test drive in every single car before it goes out that door. They don't even advertise that. I've seen him do it. When I walked in the front door, I see him getting back with the technician that actually did the repairs. He'll go in a ride to make sure everything's sounding right, going right. I mean, it is above him? I have no idea what the hell they charge compared to the competitors. I don't even look. I don't care.
Exactly. Because you know that you're being taken care of, and that car is your baby, and they're treating that car with love just as you would, but they've got the tools and the equipment and the skills that can handle it. Cause let's face it. We don't have a lift in our garage. Do you? I don't have, I don't have all the diagnostic equipment.
And even when he couldn't get a part for the 92 Camaro, he calls me on the phone and says, are you inconvenienced? Do you need a car? Because they actually have a bunch of cars that they buy on the side, and it's nothing they market or advertise. But if you're inconvenienced, they're going to give you a car to loan. Nice. And
that is, you know,
And honestly, you use that as one of the examples in the book as well. I saw that. I recognized it.
Yeah. And you know, that shop that you work with is exactly the type of shop that I work with and market for.
Yeah.
And by the way, how do they know that it was you calling? Because it's their CRM. They have the identification on phones, just as we do with our cell phones.
Oh.
And so chances are very high that he knew exactly who it was calling, because you are on their top of mind. And yeah.
It's and perfect. Here's the other thing they add. I'm so sorry, I'm raving about these people, but again, they have such great examples. And so when I brought my truck in, which was being serviced at a dealership because it gets a free oil change for life thing, but they use Carfax, you know, for updating. Well, my small shop invested in having Carfax, and so when I brought my truck in that had been mishandled by the dealer, they actually pulled up the last thing that was done, so they knew exactly where to start, and that's why they were able to fix it within 15 minutes. That was awesome. Oh, and they actually pay the extra money to have everything warranted. He actually found stuff that they did under a year ago that had been leaking a little bit and goes, hey, that's covered under warranty. I didn't even mention anything was an issue. And they proactively fixed it under warranty as no cost to me. And that's the kind of stuff that says, that's why I'm talking about them on a podcast, not about Jennifer. So I apologize.
No. In fact, let's go the extra step. What is the name of that wonderful shop? Let's send some business to them because they are superheroes.
Yeah, that's Express Auto here in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Hands down.
Express Auto in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Go see them, folks, because these are superheroes. They really are.
Yep.
Isn't that cool? And yes, exactly. We definitely want to celebrate the businesses that show us love. And yeah, it's a cliche, go that extra mile, especially in the auto repair world. Get it? Yuck, yuck, yuck. But it's true though. It's true. We want to have people go the extra mile.
They live your give to get.
It's so true. And also too, people were like, well, I haven't had that experience with my auto repair shop. Well, honey, go find a better auto repair shop. But let's give an example that I use in the book that almost everybody can relate to. And that's ice cream shops.
Yep. I love that one. Go.
Yeah. So ice cream shops, you walk into an ice cream shop, you've got, you know, maybe yourself, or maybe you've got the kids with you. Right. And in your mind, you're like, okay, I think I want this flavor, but if they offer samples and you're not really sure that you want that flavor, you might want to try a few samples. Right. So I don't know about you, but there's this ice cream shop called Mary Ann's. It's in Santa Cruz. And I absolutely love Mary Ann's because everything is handcrafted. It's super yummy. And my whole goal is to have every single flavor on their menu. They're that good, right? So right. I will go into Mary Ann's ice cream in Santa Cruz, California, and I will ask for like maybe two or three samples. And guess what? I will usually come away with two scoops of ice cream when I originally just wanted one, or I might get super creative and take all of those flavors that I was trying and turn it into a milkshake. Like I can get really creative because I love my ice cream, right? But the point that I make is the fact that they give those samples allows me to try things. And then I end up usually buying more than I expected because they gave freely to get more. It's part of their principle, right? Now let's take the opposite. We've got an ice cream shop that is struggling. You've got just some kind of bean counter in management who's like, no, we're giving away way too much ice cream here. I don't want you to give out any free samples. So the front desk, they're just doing what they can. And may I have a sample? May I try that? No, I'm sorry. We don't do that. Oh, okay. Well, what does that tell the customer? Well, all right. Well, you know what? I'm going to stick with my safe bet because I know that vanilla is not going to be wrong. So let's just go with vanilla. And then later on, the ice cream shop that's being very frugal about their ice cream samples are like, well, why isn't the butter brickle moving? Why isn't the lavender tea flavor moving? Like, why aren't all these other flavors moving? Why is vanilla and chocolate, why is that the number one and number two? Well, because you didn't give to get. You were too worried about loss. And in truth, you lost more because you didn't let people try out the cool stuff.
Yeah, I love that example. It makes so much sense. But it's always that fear. the four pillars of communicating that builds value and demonstrates that love is seeking the thoughts and opinions of others, talking in terms of their priorities and pain points and challenges, which is, hey, if someone has a priority that they are looking for experience in a new ice cream flavor, that's it. Validating them without judging them, having that non-judgmental curiosity. And then final one, the huge one, which provides that psychological comfort for others, is empowering people with choice. If they don't have a understanding of what the choices even are, how can you empower them with choice? And so it's the whole system just shuts down because people are focused on the profit and not focused on the customer or the why.
Right.
You know, and whether, again, you know, we don't have to, this won't be timestamped too much, but in this world right now, there is one person, there's a few, obviously, but a few people that are actually demonstrating big whys, and it's set ripples through everything. You know, Elon Musk right now, I don't care what anyone thinks about him. That guy knows his why. I've read his book. I've mentioned him before. And that is, his why is to save the human race.
Oh, yeah.
SpaceX has colonized the solar system to save the human race. It's not to go to moons, not to go to Mars. All those things are byproducts. You know, the fact that he keeps getting contracts is what happens when he knows his why. Buy in Twitter, because he said the human race has to have open, transparent communication for democracy to succeed. And so it's amazing when someone knows their why, watching things fall into place. And he's relentless on it. Again, take what you like or don't like about him, put that aside. Just look at someone who's actually living the why, and you're going to see that's why he's successful.
Oh yeah, for sure. And when you know your why and you dial it in, got to make sure, okay, write this down, folks who are taking notes.
Here's another one, the pen and paper.
If you want to make sure that your business really thrives, you need to make sure that every single person on your team knows your why, so they can act in lockstep with the values of the company. So how do you do that? Well, you make sure that in your standard operating procedures and everything that you do, your employee handbook, you let your employees know what the why is of the business so they can act accordingly. It would also be really smart of you to let your vendors know what your why is so they can be in lockstep and act accordingly. And then, of course, you got to let your clients know what your why is, and then they will fall in love with you and become your tribe because they resonate with your why. And then finally, your larger community, you need to let them know what your why is so they can come and support you. So you have to let everyone know what your why is if you want to thrive, because if you keep it a secret, they'll be left guessing. And how are they going to fall in love with you if they don't know what you're all about?
Yeah. And being transparent and open with that why is so critical on so many levels, because it allows people to be proactive in support. It allows your people to proactively innovate through challenges and problems because they understand what that why is. And the other thing I love about the way you describe it is when people hold that why in, it's actually, that's what the rule, one of the 48 rules of power from Robert Greene is holding information. And power is about self, leadership is about others. And so it's a great example of the whole circle coming back. The other thing I thought I'd love for you to chat about how they all interact is just the four currencies that you talk about in the book as well. What are those?
The four currencies. So money, time, knowledge, and relationships. And in our world currently, I think we hear so much about money as the main currency. There's so much discussion about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Dogecoin, NFTs, currency. The dollar is falling. The dollar is great. The gold standard. You know, there's like so much discussion about money currency. And if you listen to that, that's the only currency that you can think of. But really, there are three other currencies. There's time. Time is a very precious currency because Robin, you and I, we chose to spend time together, and that is valuable. Yeah. And then knowledge, studying, reading The Give to Get Principle, reading Forged by Trust, reading like reading everything that we produce so we can become the better version of ourselves and have a lifelong pursuit of knowledge. That is a currency. and our relationships right here, right now, talking with each other, connecting on a deeper level, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends across town, our friends across the world. Those relationships are also a currency. I'll tell you an example of a currency with a relationship. I'm going to Denver on Friday, and I'm going to see a couple of my clients, but I'm also going to see a group of people that I've never met for a meetup that I'm hosting, because I'm the fairy godmother of Not Your Average Investor community, and I'm putting together a meetup. So Andy has been a client of mine for several years, and Andy owns a shop, Antero Automotive, in Greenwood Village, Colorado. And I was like, Andy, I know you do loaner cars because I do your marketing, and I know that that's one of the things you offer. Do you have a spare loaner car so you can save me some money from not having to rent a car? He goes, yes, Jen, I got a car for you. You can use it all week. Thanks, Andy.
Nice.
So I do have to spend about, I don't know, 70, 80 bucks on an Uber or a taxi ride to get to his shop from the airport, which is fine. But guess what? He saved me another 80 bucks by not having to rent a car from Enterprise. And nothing against Enterprise. It's just that, hey, if you've got friends with loaner cars, why not? Right. And of course, you know, I'm going to take care of Andy. I'm going to feed him later that night. But the point is that people think that money is the number one currency. And I got some news for you. It's your relationships that are your number one currency, because your relationships will bring you more money, more time, and more knowledge. So never forget that.
100%. Absolutely. The last thing, boy, time is flying.
It's so fun, isn't it? We're having a good old time. We'll have to do a part two.
I love doing these things. The other thing I really love that keeps things rolling very healthy and creates that love is a great attitude. Mm-hmm. And you spoke about that in your book as well. And I thought it was another area that can be challenging, because just like love, unless you actually give the specific actions of love, it can be very subjective. And same thing with having a great attitude. So how do you coach someone into having a good attitude?
Oof. Okay.
Tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. And I had to do this in 5 minutes. Okay, great.
Oh no, take your time.
No, but you know, aspect what I mean? This might be part two. Stay tuned for the next. How I've been coaching shop owners lately is I really go back to their standard operating procedures. Do you have all of the things that you need to get done in your business written down? A lot of people say, oh, well, we have tribal knowledge. Well, that's a fancy word for saying it's not written down. Because really, if you can provide your brand new hire. Okay, let's just say you have this brand new hire and you have so many hopes and dreams on this new hire, and you don't have standard operating procedures in place. You might have like a few things and you teach them and you spend like a day or two of immersion with them. Like, okay, this is how we do it here. And this is how we do this. And this is how we do this. And then you let them go to go off in the wild blue yonder to go do those things that you just taught them. And day three, day four, day five, they're just not getting it right. And a month goes by and they're still not getting it right. And you, as a shop owner or a business owner, you're so frustrated because you're like, I told you this. Well, guess what? We don't hire dummies. What happens is that you didn't give them all of the tools and all of the, here's how to do this and all the checklists, so they can make sure that they are doing it right. And they're doing it consistently correct every single time. So it's super important. All businesses need to have standard operating procedures. Step one, step two, step three. If you got a problem, go here. You know what I'm saying? Those need to be really spelled out. And bonus points if you get your why infused in that story of, and then if you can get them checklists. And guess what? If you don't want to repeat yourself, make a little video showing them how to do it so they can click the play button and you can repeat yourself the same every single time. And you don't have to get tired because I said that 10 times. So really, attitude comes from the leader of the corporation, the leader of the business. And if you understand that a fish is going to have a hard time climbing a tree, then you're going to find a job that is appropriate for that fish. You know what I'm saying? And so we don't hire dummies. We got to make sure that they are given the tools and they are placed in a position that really highlights their superpowers. Because until you dig deep and figure out what someone's natural talents and superpowers are, they're going to be a misfit. And you don't want a team of misfits. You want a team of unicorns that are awesome, that perform and show the love and support each other. And so I have had to learn that in my own business. I've had challenges where I've almost let a really valuable employee go because this person just couldn't get it. And then I wrote my SOPs, and guess what? Not all of my problems have been solved, but 80% of my problems have been solved. Okay. So I have lived it. It's like, oh my gosh, yes, this is true. Write this stuff down. Give yourself a short checklist of, look, to close up the shop by the end of the night. These are all the things that must be done. Write it down. Make it easier for people to be successful. Because if you keep them guessing as to how they're going to be successful, it ain't going to work.
It is such an elusive obvious. You know, when you think about having people feeling good at work and having a great attitude, people think they have to have free coffee, office picnics, all these rah-rah cheerleading things, which is good and fine. But psychologically, people need to understand what the expectations are, what success looks like, and how to get there. They need a roadmap to start. Now, the roadmap to start with understanding the why so they can innovate when things go sideways, that's where that great feeling of accomplishment and success and prosperity comes from, and psychological comfort, because they know, because again, psychological comfort comes from what? An understanding and a feeling of control of what's going on inside of me and those things around me. And the way you can do that is provide them those great SOPs. So it almost sounds counterintuitive that the way to have great employee attitude is by creating structure.
Yep.
But it's so true. I mean, think about children growing up.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Children that are complete mayhem because there's no rules, there's no structure in a classroom or at home. They're the most unhappy, sad little kids just because they don't have that structure. And the ones that are prospering so well is because there's all that structure. Yeah. Our human brains are craving it and need it. And so what a nice, easy fix that is. Just provide the structure to have that great attitude. Yeah, explain that why, and you will have rock star performers in from your rock star marketing company.
Yay!
Jennifer, where can people find out more about you and your awesomeness?
Okay, grab your pens. I'm going to spell everything out for you. I know, right? I'm such a teacher, right? I can't help it. I love it. I love sharing knowledge. Okay. So if you look up rockstar marketing, you're going to find that, spoiler alert, there are a lot of rockstar marketing. So you got to find the right one. How do you find the right one? I'm going to make it really easy for you. Go to jenniferfilzen.com. You're going to find everything there is about me, including rockstar marketing. Now, for those of you who are really curious, well, what's the URL for rockstar marketing? Here it is, rock-star-mktg.com. If that doesn't make sense for you, just look up Rockstar Marketing, Monterey, California. Chances are very high that you'll find me, Jennifer Filzen. But the point being is that if you go to jenniferfilzen.com, you'll find how to see my books, how to learn more about West Coast swing dance. But the point being is that I would love, love, love to assist you. And you can spend a half hour with me, courtesy, no time charged. We'll look at what you're doing for your marketing. I'll be happy to give you some guidance and send you on your way. And if you want to work with me, cool. And if you don't, that's okay too. I love sharing knowledge. And I know that there are people that resonate with me, and those are the ones that want to work with me. So if that's you, let's hang out. Let's make your business awesome and bring in more money. Yay.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. And for those listening, of course, all these links will be in the show notes, as well as my continued support of everything that Jennifer does. Her book was amazing. I highly recommend the audio version as well. I get both. It's not expensive at all. And it's just a continuation of the podcast. She does a wonderful job in it. And I thank everyone for listening. Again, to the Forged by Trust podcast. Again, go to the show notes. And thank you so much for that offer. I noted that in the book. You mentioned that in the book. You know, go on and check me out. Free consultation, because that's part of the give to get. And I thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you, Robin. It's been a true joy.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Forged by Trust. If you enjoyed the show, took away a few new tools, I hope you will leave a great review of the show to show your support. If you are interested in more information about how to forge your own trust-building strategies, please visit my website at www.peopleformula.com. You can also follow me on my social media sites included in the show notes. I'm looking forward to sharing my next Forged by Trust episode with you soon.